Welcome to the Global Discussion, discussions with creatives, leaders, and thinkers. My name is Simon Hodgkins, and today it's a real pleasure to catch up with Sophie Cross. Sophie, you're very welcome to the show. Maybe let's begin by asking you to introduce yourself and tell our worldwide audience a little bit about the world of Sophie Cross.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm the editor and publisher of Freelancer Magazine. We're a print-first magazine that goes out quarterly to B2B and creative freelancers, 100 pages, lots of business advice. It's also lifestyle, lots about marketing yourself and getting new clients, and really just about growing a freelance business that you love, whatever that means to you. We also have Freelancer Magazine Marketing School online marketing courses. So if you want to get a bit more confidence with marketing yourself around LinkedIn, growing your own newsletter, content creation, nailing your offering, then we have courses as well for that. We do some events as well, so some in real life, but the things that are most popular at the moment are we have virtual co-working, what's going to be four times a week in from January. So yeah, three morning sessions, one afternoon session. Yeah, we have a big Christmas party every year, and it's just really community focused. You know, I think as soon as you get the magazine, you're going to feel like you're part of the club. Lots of people kind of sharing about it and connecting online, connecting at virtual co-working, and just really about bringing people that generally work in isolation together to share stories, share best practice, and make some friends.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And I suppose when I think of the freelancing world and people maybe that work in this solo sort of entrepreneurial way, maybe some people view it as a way that they have to work. They've tried the other way of working, and this is their preferred way of working. And for others, it's something maybe that they transition into. And I'm reminded of the pandemic's impact on that, and people maybe reevaluating how they wanted to work, when they wanted to work, the type of work they wanted to do. What was the driving force behind deciding to set up the business that you have, Sophie? Was it boosted by the pandemic? Was it a passion that you had? Or, you know, what was really the sort of seed of that innovation for you to decide to go down this route and to
Yes.
champion this area, I suppose?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose looking back, there were lots of stepping stones that came together to get me here. So I was freelancing for 10 years. I focus 100% on the magazine now, but not to say I wouldn't kind of go back to it. I was in a corporate role before that, so travel and hospitality, then really wanted to set up my own business. Just have always loved the idea of setting up a business or helping other people set up businesses or listening to people talk about their businesses. Which is why the magazine is amazing, because I get to do that the whole time now. Yeah, I went freelance for 10 years in travel and marketing, travel and hospitality marketing, and lost all my clients in the pandemic. So had also, now looking back, always kind of had a love for print media and print as collateral, which probably started making hotel brochures, which at the time I didn't really think much of. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, I always loved that kind of, you know, print medium and putting those sorts of things together. I was then making a magazine for a hotel group as well with Ange, who's the designer of Magic Magazine now. So we had, you know, a fairly rudimentary process for putting a magazine together, but it actually started. So when I'd lost all my clients, I started making marketing courses for freelancers online, and was just thinking about another way, that I could create content around that topic for that audience, raise my profile in that kind of sector, and you know, elevate myself as an expert in freelancing, in marketing, kind of thinking about a blog or a podcast or a newsletter. And it just occurred to me that there wasn't a magazine, like a freelancer magazine, because I was already part of, by this point, I mean, there'd been a long time where I wasn't part of freelance communities, but by this time I had been for probably maybe about 3 years, starting off on Twitter. So, and then obviously in the pandemic, that kind of really increased. We were all online a lot. And, you know, that kind of community feel, particularly on Twitter, particularly it seemed, well, I was in copywriting as well at the time, but there was a really big kind of freelance copywriting community on Twitter. And I sort of knew, because I was already part of these communities, that if there was a magazine, I'd know about it. And I also kind of had a community to get behind it as well. That I knew that if I put the idea out there, I would get feedback quite quickly as to whether people wanted it or not. So yeah, came up with the idea and just ran with it and had the time to do it as well. Most importantly, had a lot of time. So yeah, and just did it really quickly because, I wanted to fail fast. If it wasn't going to work, I didn't want to spend 6 months or a year or 2 years finding out that it wasn't going to work. So had the idea and just thought, let's give this a shot.
And maybe for some of our international audience who may not be familiar with the publication, my perspective as somebody who's purchased and advertised in the publication in the past, it sort of came out of the gate to me as this fully formed, highly polished piece of print media. It wasn't like, well, we'll give it a go. Now, I'm sure behind the scenes there were lots of trials and tribulations and lots of things to organize, and I know it's been iterated on and improved along the years, but it came out, I think, with such a wow, this is really good, and I think it really embraced, or sorry, I think the community really embraced it early on. Is that a fair sort of viewpoint, or what was your, as the person running the show behind the scenes, what was your early days sort of realization once you launched?
Yeah, that's really kind. Thank you. Yeah, I think we have come on, but I suppose there was, in me, it was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it properly. And I think actually there is, and we still have it now, because actually we've had a new website this year, and it looks really, really good. But until then, there was a real gap between kind of what our online messaging was saying about the magazine and the magazine. So people would always kind of receive it and be like, whoa, I wasn't expecting it to be this good. But I think, a lot of that was down to, like, I rang Ange like day one basically and said, would you design it? So I was always going to have a professional designer. We got it printed properly, all of these things that just really add to the perceived value. And yeah, it's square, it smells good. It's 100 pages, so it's quite a chunky piece. We wanted it to be like a resource, quite timeless. Like a lot of the information, probably 90% of the stuff in there is stuff you can refer back to as a resource, and you can keep it on your bookshelf and things like that. So yeah, it has got better, I'd say, and we've learned more about actually kind of making a magazine. But yeah, I think there was always a fire in me that said, if I'm going to kind of have my own product, have my own business, then let's not mess around with this.
You said something there that I want to go back to, which I know people that have a passion for design and print media in particular will resonate with. You said it smells good.
Yeah.
And there's something very magical still to this day in this world of digital and AI about getting a physical printed product, cracking the spine of it, feeling the quality of the paper stock, and being able to smell that, whether it's the paper or the glue or whatever it is. There is something very tangible that really impacts the human senses with print media. And it was so good to hear you say that, you know?
It's probably the feedback we get the most, actually. Everyone is just like, oh, it smells really good. Like, what have you done to it? So, yeah, it's really nice. And I just think that there's that sense of being part of a club when it comes through the door that, certainly if you get the digital version, great, and it's lovely to be getting it at the same time as everyone else. And everyone, we put everyone that's in there, has their contact details in there, so you can go and follow them, you can go and connect with them, you can drop them a message. And I just think that's lovely. It's so nice to see people go, when I see people online saying, oh, I saw you in the magazine, or I know that people have made connections through that community. So yeah, I think it's just the print element does help with that feeling like part of a club, I think, when it comes through the door, that maybe you just don't get when, a blog is published or but yeah, it's still nice that everyone kind of receives the same content, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a feeling almost of belonging to something, isn't there? Which I think is nice. And I wanted to ask you about, obviously, as you're a number of years in now to the journey, obviously, to remain excited, inspired, to come up with these innovations, what is it that sort of you admire today or that inspires you the most at the moment? Or how do you keep that sort of creative fire burning, Sophie?
I mean, I suppose the community, seeing that feedback, people telling me they love it, things like that. Of course, that is just amazing, and we'll never kind of get bored of that. And then on top of that, I suppose, I'm a marketer first and foremost, and to be able to design campaigns and come up with ideas and also be able to implement them really quickly. Which isn't always possible, if at all, when you're employed or maybe when you've got clients. Like, I just kind of get off on that, and actually there's so much to do. There's so many plates spinning, and actually probably we're 2.5 years in that maybe 80% of my time, which is probably wrong, but probably has been taken up with kind of the operations side of it. So it's only really now that, of course, we've done kind of cool things and we've done marketing, but actually now I'm like, we need to focus on marketing. We need to, well, I need to focus on marketing. I need to focus on distribution. The content creation side of it is sort of taking care of itself now, but it takes ages, it really does. And yeah,
Yeah.
you can't give yourself too much of a hard time about that, I don't think.
No, and I suppose, it changes, doesn't it? Where the focus is best applied. And once you have other, I know you put some great people in, as you've mentioned already, and, getting the processes down. If somebody was looking to follow in your footsteps, though, if you were looking back and saying, what would I do different? Has there been any good advice you've received along the way, or any sort of, things you could share with our audience that you think are important when you go on a journey like this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we launched by Kickstarter, which is a crowdfunding platform, and I just knew I hadn't done anything like that before. I'd supported a couple of Kickstarters, but I just really thought that that was the way for us to go, because by doing that, we raised funds, we sold the magazine through the Kickstarter, so we found out if people wanted it. It was really about us creating our MVP, so like our minimum viable product. By doing that as well, we were giving people as much, the Kickstarter forces you to give people as much information as you can about the product before they buy it. It gives people a sense of urgency. So I would say it's really important to get all these things, get all these things in place. And actually, if you do it by crowdfunding, that kind of forces you to do that, and you get funding up, you will get raise money up front. I got the idea out there as quickly as I could, like I said, because I just wanted to get people on board with the idea. There was no keeping it a secret. It was like, if you want this, let us know. We started building a database really early by asking people, like, actually sign up if you want to help choose the branding, if you want to help choose the first front cover. So things like that. If you're going to launch an idea, I would say make sure you're part of those communities already, or before you launch it, get involved in those communities as much as you can. I think kind of further down the line, what I try to do now is put processes in place and put checklists in place. So that was some advice, I've been given. I know David Hyatt talks about having a checklist culture, and I think it's just so easy to kind of chase your tail otherwise. So yeah, we have a freelance team now of writers. We have amazing distributors. They take care of our customer service as well. So, get help. Basically, I have an amazing VA, and with more people, it becomes even more imperative to kind of get these checklists and get these processes in place. And they won't be perfect. Everything is going to take iteration after iteration and keep being optimized. But that is the place I'm at the moment, is to try and kind of create processes for each thing, which we don't have in place. We don't, have in place for some of the major things at the moment. But yeah, that's kind of ticking those things off and doing that. And that's kind of knowing it just is like makes it more sustainable, knowing that like I'm not going to have to reinvent this wheel every single time. Like I've got something in place. And actually, you know, by a process, it could just be a checklist in a Google Doc. It could be just putting dates in. So like, you know, making sure you know what dates you're you know, if you're going to do like a kind of reaching out email to clients, putting that in once a quarter and planning those dates in advance and planning yourself some time in. Like you don't, the word process, I think, makes it sound a little bit, you know, mystical, but actually it's just about putting things in place that you can kind of repeat them and not have to start all over again every single time.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And thank you for sharing that with our audience, Sophie. That's very helpful. It brings me nicely onto another thing that I want to ask you. And that is, you mentioned at the top when we started talking about some new marketing courses and also this sort of co-working environment that you're creating for the year ahead. So what does the next 6 to 12 months look like? Could you maybe expand on a little bit about that? And what are you hoping to achieve? What's on the roadmap? What's on your horizon for the year ahead?
Yeah, of course. So I suppose I've tried to keep focused, but inevitably there is a lot of trial and error, and you do sort of start chasing shiny things and think, oh, I might do this as well, or I might do this event, or I might do this partnership. And actually, I always need to bring myself back to like, you know, what is our core product? What do we do really well? You know, what is going really well for us? So really focusing on the magazine and, like I said, kind of distribution and marketing, because I think I've talked about this on LinkedIn a little bit recently, but I think if you are a creative, if you are a content creator, it can just be so tempting to just keep making things and not spend the time distributing the things that you've already made. So I think, yeah, to put that focus on distribution. And also, you put so much into making things often that you're kind of like, by the time you finish, you're a bit knackered. So, you know, we kind of make the magazine and I'm like, oh God, I've got to market it now. And even though that's kind of my jam, it has been, you know, it has definitely been secondary. And you know, maybe that's not such a bad thing, because of course having a great product is really important. But yeah, focus is definitely on distribution. Our virtual co-working sessions are just amazing. They're run by volunteer hosts and I host them as well. So they're going to keep rolling. We'll keep pushing those out. We have our Dunker weekly newsletter. So just driving people to sign up for that in the first instance so they can start to find out about us. And yeah, I'm going to make at least one new course next year. So my next course is going to be called A Course of Course. And it's going to be about how to make your first course. Because yeah, it really was kind of life-changing for me to empty my brain out and start making online courses for people. You know, I found it really cathartic, and I've learned loads. So they've been going for about 3 years, and yeah, there's definitely stuff I could have done better straight away. So just sharing kind of how you would go about choosing what course to make, how you would go about making it, and you know, what makes a course kind of captivating for people, what makes them actually complete it, what makes them give you good feedback and refer it to other people, and how you market and sell courses successfully, really. So that's going to be the next course. And then, yeah, enrollment opens a few times a year for my flagship courses that already exist. So LinkedIn for Humans and Grow Your Own Newsletter.
Very good. Sounds like a busy time. Will you fit in any road trips? Because I know you have a special, wonderful vehicle that maybe gets the odd outing now and again.
Yeah, so I've done over 200 nights in 2 years in my camper van. So yeah, for sure it will be, yeah, it comes, I use it the whole time still. So yeah, there'll definitely be some trips in 2024. Not exactly sure, I haven't got anything planned, which is unusual for me. But yeah, I generally stay in it about once a week still, even through the winter, to be honest.
That's wonderful, and it's great. I know there's some pictures online; people can see the experience, and it is wonderful. Look, finally, as we come to an end of our time here together, unfortunately, Sophie, is there anything else you'd like to share with our worldwide audience. And secondly, the thing I also want you to do is maybe if people want to connect with you, find out more about the courses, the magazine, get involved in the community, where is also the best place to point people to?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess my final thought would be get involved in a community, find your people, find your tribe, get involved in our community if you think that it sounds like something that is up your street. And, you know, if you want to kind of connect with some of the most awesome and friendliest freelancers in the world, then that, you know, it will be up your street. We're at freelancermagazine.co.uk. So you can find the magazine there, you can find the courses there, you can find the events, virtual co-working, you can sign up for the Dunker. And yeah, find me on LinkedIn, come and connect with me. I'm Sophie Cross, or I think it's /SophCross. So please drop me a DM.
Thank you. That brings us nicely to the end of our discussion today here on the Global Discussion. Thanks to everybody who's been watching or listening to this episode around the world. Make sure that you like, follow, subscribe, do everything I need you to do to help support this show. And of course, go over and check out everything that's happening over at the community that Sophie's building. It really is a wonderful place, and I do urge people to go and check it out. But I hope you'll join me back here for some more discussions with creatives and leaders and thinkers just like Sophie. Sophie, it's been a real pleasure to take some time out with you today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Simon.